Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Welcome to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. I'm your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy. Justin.
Sidster.
I'm upset about something.
What is it, babe?
Well, I've been really worried that on a lot of shows, like podcasts and, well, other kinds of shows, like TV shows.
Basically, and, just like various shows.
You know, things that have episodes.
Shows.
Right. Serials, if you will.
Serialized entertainment.
That they have recurring bits, you know, things they do to like call back to previous episodes and everybody looks forward to them. And like they the go, oh, there's that funny thing they do that I love.
Like the slap bet on How I Met Your Mother or
right.
A general feeling of insignificance while you're watching Cosmos. That is like a recurring bit.
That's exactly the kind of thing. Well, I don't really want to give people a general feeling of insignificance, but something like that, mm-hmm. I feel like we need that.
A classic bit, like the guy who says dynamite.
Exactly.
Okay.
Do you want to try that?
Dynamite.
Dynamite.
No, I don't think we've got it. So what's your idea?
Okay, so this is what I thought might work well. You really seem to like a certain topic that came up a couple episodes ago. And a lot of people on like Twitter and social media, you know, Facebook, all those places, see, they seem to really like it too. So I thought I'd maybe call back to, do you remember when we talked about cholera?
Okay, so just to recap, you think that our hilarious recurring bit should be pooping yourself to death. That should be our hilarious classic bit that we return to. T-shirts, bumper stickers.
Well, I don't find pooping particularly funny.
Right, you're kind of opposed to the scatological.
It's never been my flavor of humor.
Right.
That's probably a poor choice of words.
Indeed.
But I found that a lot of people like it. I mean, it always makes you laugh.
It does. I'm ashamed to admit it.
And a lot of kids laugh when you say poop.
Yeah, they do.
And they're probably...
Said it right there. Did you
I
hear
know.
It?
And when I said that, I bet that there are people listening who laughed in spite of themselves. I thought maybe that would be
You've got a pretty good point. I will agree. You've got a pretty good point.
So if we're gonna keep this recurring cholera theme, I thought maybe you should know more about cholera other than that one guy who drank it that one time.
The one guy who drank cholera. Yeah. All right, Sydney, cholera. Hit me. I'm ready.
So the great thing about cholera...
There are great things about cholera?
Okay, no, there's nothing great about cholera. But one interesting thing is that it's been around, again, a really long time. It's another one of those diseases that, you know, we talked about tuberculosis, and I think we mentioned this maybe with syphilis. But there are a lot of these diseases that leprosy that we can go back into ancient times and mm-hmm. talk about. And cholera is one of those.
Cholera is a classic.
It is. It's a classic pooping disease. One of the three classic pooping diseases.
Okay.
With Salmonella and E. coli. Those would be my pick for the classic. Oh, but then there's always Norwalk. I don't know. So that, you know, cruise indie, ships all over.
Indie underground favorite.
I don't know.
Pooping disease.
So it probably started out in India. And it comes from the Greek word for bile, by the way. Mm. It probably started out in India, and it's been around, like I said, since ancient times. And from there, it spread basically through trade routes. You can kind of trace where trade was expanding from India based on where cholera outbreaks happened.
That's weird.
A lot of these diseases early on, I mean, when you look at, like, smallpox, why did it go where it ended up? It was people traveling and taking it places and giving it to indigenous populations who didn't have it before. Mm-hmm. Syphilis, again, same kind of thing. So since then, there have been, depending on what you read, probably 7 major epidemics, unless you count the one in most recently in Haiti after the earthquake.
Oh, there was a bad outbreak there.
That was a really bad outbreak following the earthquake just because of sanitation issues.
Sure.
And so that may be the 8th, depending on how you look at it. Really bad outbreak versus epidemic. So either way.
All right.
It was also the first reportable disease in the U.S., which is kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. Now we have a whole list of diseases. I don't know if you knew that we have to report to the CDC if we encounter them.
If you run into a case of cholera, which I'm assuming you haven't.
No, I have not personally seen cholera.
That's good.
No, it's very rare in this country. Okay. It's not impossible to see it, but
we got one thing very, going very rare. For us.
Yeah, there used to be,
but
now there's not cholera here for the most part. But it has been responsible for killing millions of people through history, so it's a pretty big deal.
Recurring bit, you think? Kind of a classic recurring goof.
I mean, if you're talking about diseases and, like, the important ones, that's kind of part of their job. You know, it's like that ancient battle between man and bacteria. Man versus microbe. Who wins?
That's what Clash of the Titans was about. Spoiler, microbes.
See, but the microbes always win for a while, but then we get better at it, and sometimes we can win.
Yeah, that's true.
Take that, smallpox.
That's what makes it a good...
Screw you.
Good battle. Stuff it, smallpox.
So it's caused by a bacteria.
Suck an egg, polio.
It's caused by a bacteria. You ingest it, mainly. So it mainly comes through what we would call a fecal-oral route of transmission. That's what we call that in medicine. Did you know that?
Why is that even a road? Why is there a route for that?
Because it's you fecal, you poop it out, and then it gets back in your mouth. Well, not in your mouth, in somebody else's mouth, and then you fecal-oral.
Really doesn't need to be a route there.
Like, contaminated water is the big thing. It's like poop gets in water, and then you drink it.
We should board the fecal-oral route up. We should just board it up, put up a sign. It's like, no entry, dead end, hazardous.
It's a very popular route of transmission, especially among little people, little kids. Babies and kids. Yeah, they're always, that fecal-oral stuff, can't stop it. It causes, like I said, massive watery diarrhea.
Cool.
And it looks like rice water after a while, because all you're really losing at that point is just water with flakes of your intestinal lining. So it looks like you put rice grains in a
hugely,
cup of water.
Hugely unpleasant.
And basically the goal is to maintain hydration. If you can keep somebody hydrated, they can survive cholera. If you can't, then unfortunately they'll die.
So it is one of those where sanitation is massive, right? Because otherwise that suddenly becomes at a premium, clean drinking water.
Oh, exactly. Because it's the reason you get it is because you had poor sanitation. You were exposed to it in the first place.
Right.
And then the only treatment for it is to, you know, hopefully through oral rehydration. So just drinking, we can keep you rehydrated, or at least if we have to through IV hydration, one way or another, we can keep you hydrated. And so if we don't have access to that, you know, we're kind of screwed. There are antibiotics that will work, but we usually don't use them. They might cut down on the duration, but most of the time, if we can just get people hydrated, that's really what we need. I know, such an easy treatment, right?
Yeah, right.
Now, as far as what was thought to cause cholera,
probably everything.
Oh, exactly. Of course.
We don't discriminate when we're guessing what causes things.
It's a lot of it initially was kind of our humors theory. There's some kind of imbalance in the body. Some sort of internal forces are out of whack and we need to bring them back into balance, which is usually done by, you know, bleeding people or causing them to puke, or we don't need to give them diarrhea.
They've got that.
They've under, got
no problem, Doc. I got that one under control for you.
I'm just going to give you something that's going to give you some more diarrhea to get this out.
That would be impossible unless you can teach my poop to poop. I really don't think I could get additional diarrhea.
Did you say teach my poop to poop?
Yo, dog, we know you love to poop, so we put some poop in your poop so you can poop while you poop. Exhibit, pimp my butt. Yo, dog.
That was the surprisingly, that was not the lowest rated show on MTV.
I can't believe it or not.
Pimp my butt.
It still beat out Teen Moms. I don't know.
the Europeans and then eventually the Americans, when it spread there, thought it was, and we kind of referenced this a couple times before, a miasmatic disease, a miasma. Mm-hmm. Do you remember when we talked about that?
A little bit of everything.
Kind of like in the air, like floating around you. It's not so much that it's coming from one source. It's just if you are surrounded by gross stuff.
It's like a vibe, a feeling.
Exactly. It's like an aura.
A color vibe.
And it's specifically an aura around filth or waste or dirty stuff. So right. It releases this cloud of something and then everybody gets cholera. And it's also been a disease that was associated with a lot of racism and prejudice, for lack of a better term. Usually you would blame it on some other group of people who was different than you and say that they probably brought it here.
Yeah.
So it was constantly blamed on different immigrant populations.
They look kind of cholera-ish.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't always have this, and now we do, and we've lived here for 10 years, and they moved in 9 years ago. It's probably them.
Yeah. So the doozers blame it on the Fraggles. They come in to eat our buildings, and they leave booby everywhere, and then we get cholera. I hate the Fraggles. The
Fraggles probably had cholera.
But Fraggles definitely had cholera, no question.
Yeah, they have that look.
That's why they kept eating the doozers' buildings all the time. They're dehydrated.
They're dehydrated.
And then they had pica. That's the other thing you didn't know about Fraggles. They had pica. That's why they try to eat the buildings.
Do you want
to
tell everybody what pica is?
It's like a disease where you want to eat lead, chips, or ice.
Or something that you're not supposed to eat.
Something you're not supposed
to
eat.
Yeah, like couch stuffing.
Yeah.
It's usually when you have iron deficiency anemia.
Yeah.
Good job, Justin.
Thanks, Sid.
So, MBD. It was also thought that not only did various immigrant populations, so not one specific, you know, race or nationality. It was blamed on everybody at some point in time. But people who engaged in what was thought to be immoral behavior, and also it was considered a disease of the poor. So it was thought that if you were wealthy enough, you probably wouldn't get cholera. And some of this was consistent with the living conditions of the time. The lower socioeconomic classes probably had even poorer sanitation mm-hmm. than the higher classes, even though nobody was particularly clean.
We were all getting kind of silly with that, throwing the stuff out the window and whatever.
It was not believed that you could transmit it from person to person, and that was mainly us doctors' fault.
Wow, really? Good job, guys.
Well, they thought if it was easily transmitted from person to person, then that the good doctor who went door to door taking care of everybody when they were sick from cholera should get it, right?
Right, makes sense.
Well, the doctor usually didn't. So.
So why?
Well, part of it was just that a lot of the initial outbreaks were spread by contaminated drinking water. So unless the doctor had a glass of water at your house while he was there, he probably wasn't drinking the same water that you were.
Right.
Because he probably lived in a different part of town. And then the other thing is just, I think you see a lot of these diseases, this kind of instinctual fear. I'm going to stay away from that person. So I'm probably not going to touch them very much. So even as the doctor, you'll show up and you'll kind of explain stuff and then leave.
So can you spread it person to person?
You can, but not through like coughing or breathing or touching. It would really have to be like, well.
Yeah, I got it. You know. Human centipede stuff.
So which is why maybe from a, yes, by creating a human centipede, that is the only way.
Nature's most efficient cholera delivery system.
While engaging in a discussion about cholera, bringing up human centipede is the absolute most disgusting thing we could possibly have done.
Sorry, I am sorry about that.
But I mean, I probably from child to adult would be more likely. You're changing their diapers or something. Mm-hmm. That could be a source. Now, of course, with the germ theory of disease that we've talked about before, Koch's postulates, when he figured out that there was a bacteria and that a bacteria probably caused, you know, germ spread illness. in the late 19th century that changed most of these beliefs for the most part. But as we talked about before in that previous episode, not everybody was convinced, even by the isolation of the bacteria, like your buddy Max Joe.
Oh, Max Joe, you let me down. Drinking cholera water.
Yep, drank cholera water to prove that wasn't how you got it, that you had to both be exposed and be dirty. And he was very clean. He was a hygienist. It was also thought that maybe the disease caused you to form the bacteria somehow, which is such a bizarre... Yeah. Like, people who are sick have this bacteria, so
we didn't
it's probably
know anything
the...
back then, Sid. We were just trying to figure it out.
And I will say that part of the confusion is that not everybody who carries cholera actually gets sick with cholera. You can be in an asymptomatic carrier state. So they would isolate cholera from the stool of people who didn't have disease, and then you didn't know what to make of that. It's actually a pretty low rate of people who are exposed who actually get sick. Like, you can get infected with cholera and not get sick.
Huh.
And it's a very, even of those people, it's a much smaller percentage who actually get so sick that they might die from it, which just shows how many people actually ended up getting cholera that we've had millions of deaths.
Huh. Wow.
And like I said, this was a big deal. There was a world conference in 1851 called the International Sanitary Conference, and it was purely, well, it wasn't just about cholera, but that was really the...
It was a hot thing. Topic. It's all that anybody wanted to talk about.
So at the end of the 19th century, a lot of the major epidemics were subsiding, probably just because of better sanitation methods. Right. We didn't know we were doing it, but we were eliminating the conditions that
breed
cholera.
Almost by chance.
And at the same time, the doctors really started to embrace the bacteria theory. But we were still trying to figure out, like, how it was all, like, how all these people were getting it. And this is where an interesting story comes into play about a guy named John Snow, who is a doctor, an OBGYN.
And also a bastard from House Stark.
I don't know who that is.
Well, see, from House Stark, it was Ned Stark's bastard son, John Snow. He went to the wall to defend us.
What are you talking about? Who is this?
From Game of Thrones.
Oh, you know I don't watch that.
I know, but I was talking to the people at home about Jon Snow.
What if they're behind?
On the wall. This is pretty early stuff.
Oh, okay. Well,
they're
I don't know.
Right. They're all right.
Has winter come yet?
Nah, I think winter's still on the way. Okay. In some parts, it's there. In some other parts, it's like, I don't know, still hazy.
Well, I just see like...
It kind of feels crisp like fall.
Sometimes there are commercials and it looks like, you know, cold.
It does. I mean, there are parts where winter just chills. I mean, no pun intended, but winter is there in some places all the time when you go, like, north of the wall. This is not pertinent.
Well, I hope you and everyone who watches that are enjoying that show.
Okay. Jon Snow and the Broad Street Pump.
Now, some people are right now saying, like, well, of course we all know this story.
But, okay, I do want to say something. Speaking of people saying, of course we all know this story, I get nervous whenever I talk about anybody on Game of Thrones specifically because I have watched every episode of that show and I am still certain I'm going to mess it up. That's how confusing the show is. I'm still like, Jon Snow he was Ned Stark's kid, right? Yeah, I mean, I think he was that guy's bastard son. Yeah, he's at the wall. Yeah, it's Jon Snow. Yeah, I got it. Say it. No, she won't get it. She didn't watch it. Like, somebody will get it. Say it.
Somebody's going to correct you.
Yeah, I'm sure. But sorry.
So are you saying that, like, somebody that I shouldn't tell this story because it's so well-known? Because clearly everybody knows this story.
Not like Game of Thrones level well-known. Okay. Probably not this Jon Snow story, but you go ahead.
So in 1854, Dr. Jon Snow, he wanted to figure out once and for all how an outbreak of cholera was spread. And everybody was trying to figure this out. You know, we had this idea about this bacteria, but where was it? And how were people getting it? And his idea was contaminated water. He lived in London in Soho. And at the time, people, businesses, you know, individuals would dump just raw human and animal sewage into the Thames River.
Good job, businesses.
Not a good idea. There were also a lot of, and this was all unofficial. They weren't supposed to do this. They had pumps and you know, sewage pipes and stuff, but a lot of them were leaky, and so they would also leak into the river. So even unofficially, there was constantly sewage being dumped into the river.
Awesome.
And the problem is that this same water from the Thames River was then being used for public wells and water pumps. A lot of people didn't have running water in their homes. They would go get water from a local pump.
And jet skis, I would imagine.
Right.
Where else are you going to go? Jet ski.
Except the Thames River.
Except the Thames River.
Is there a lot of jet skiing there?
Except the Thames River in 1854.
So he wanted to prove that there was cholera in the water, and he had the perfect opportunity. There was an outbreak of cholera in 1854 around Soho. And so he started going around and interviewing cases and drawing a map. This is epidemiology is what he was doing. He
invented epidemiology.
And this is a great example of it.
Okay. Maybe he didn't invent it.
But he went around and he interviewed all these people and he kept kind of zeroing in. Like, here, where are all these cases clustered?
Do you think he knew there was epidemiology? Do you think he knew he was making up epidemiology?
I think.
In part?
I think he kind of knew. Like, it was a science at the time.
It wasn't like that time when I was in elementary school and I thought that I invented the riff of Black Sabbath's Iron Man. I thought I came up with that.
No, actually, John Snow did.
John Snow. Dr. Okay. John Snow. A different John Snow.
So what he did is he interviewed all these people. He drew a map. He zeroed in on this one hand pump on Broad Street, the Broad Street pump. And he figured out that everybody who got cholera, one way or another, had drank water from this pump, which is pretty cool. So he knew. So, well, he thought the water coming from this pump must be contaminated.
He was like, I'm going to fix cholera. And then he marched right on that pump and he put a sign on it that says, please do not drink, has cholera in it. And then there's another sign below that says, please do not remove above sign. It is important.
And there's a sign below that that says, don't remove that
right,
sign.
It's like a hole. It gets very Roadrunner, Wile E. Coyote.
This was the beginning of Looney Tunes.
Yeah, that's how Looney Tunes were invented. There's cholera signs.
So I think before I tell you what else happened with this, along the storyline, there's one really funny thing. There was one lady who almost ruined the whole thing. So in order for this to work, he interviewed people who got
cholera. Thirsty Bertha, they called her. Yeah, she drank from every fountain in town.
He interviewed people who got cholera and asked them what pump they drank from, and they all drank from the same place. And then he interviewed clusters of people who didn't get it to prove that they didn't drink from that, because then he would interview like everybody at this pub, and this pub gets their water from this pump, and they're all healthy, and everybody at this pub, that kind of thing. Well, there was one woman who lived way outside the range of the pump that was the culprit, and she got sick, and so did her niece, who lived even further away. The problem was that they died, so we couldn't ask them these questions.
That if maybe they were in town or something.
Right, and so it was very confusing. So he eventually found her nephew, and he interviewed him, and apparently, this particular woman, while she did not live on Broad Street at the time of her death, had previously lived in that area.
Oh.
And just really liked the taste
of cholera.
Of water from that Broad Street pump.
It's more refreshing.
I can only imagine.
The earthy body, full body.
The taste of raw sewage that she liked.
Crisp.
Because that was it. Because she would have it bottled and brought to her. Bottle me up some Broad Street water.
It's just hardier. I don't know. It's earthy.
And so her niece had come to visit her from out of town.
To celebrate,
they'd popped open
so
a bottle.
Glad you're here. You have to try my special water.
Sparkling cholera water.
Full bodied.
Now, of course, with all this great epidemiology work, the city council didn't believe him at all.
Sure.
Yeah. Nobody in authority believed him. They wouldn't shut down the pump. They wouldn't warn people. Nobody wanted to change anything. There was actually one man in particular, a Reverend Whitehead, who believed very strongly that cholera was a punishment from God and wanted all of the citizens to believe that so that they would come to church and repent. And so he set out to interview people and prove John Snow wrong. And in doing so, he actually ended up supporting his case. So he went around interviewing victims because Jon Snow could still not prove that it was the sewage in the water that led to the cholera and all that.
Tests.
Right. We didn't know why. That was just his theory. Well, he interviewed this Reverend Whitehead, interviewed one woman who lived on Broad Street. And she said, my baby actually got sick with cholera before anybody else did. And so the Reverend was interviewing her in hopes of finding out some horrible, immoral thing that she'd done that could prove, you know, where it all came from. But what she revealed is that when her baby got cholera, it obviously went through a lot of diapers really quickly. So she would wash them off in water, in tubs of water in her home, and then go dump the water in a cesspool, a leaky cesspool that was 3 feet from the Broad Street
Baby
pump.
Zero.
That was Baby Zero. That's where the cholera came from. Baby Zero diapers. So,
what a jerk.
Thanks for that, lady.
Yeah,
what a pretty significant cholera outbreak.
Thanks, lady. Oh, man, that's the pits. Sid, I want to know how what other sort of like alternatives we had in treatments and stuff like that.
Well, again, Justin, I'd really love to give you that information, but unfortunately, you can't afford it right now, so you're going to have to go settle up your accounts.
All right, let's go to the billing department. The medicines that escalate
macabre for the mouth. You know, it's tempting to say, I'm going to start on the big new thing. You know, when the new year comes, I'm going to get it all figured out. Here's what I want to tell you. There's never been a better time to start your dream than right this second. And there's never been a better way to start than with Squarespace. We've been telling you about Squarespace for years, and that's because it's simply the best way to make a website. I mean, there's no other way to put it than that, folks. People have been using Squarespace to make incredible professional-looking websites. And they look professional because the templates they're using, they are made by real web designers. So they're making, like, building blocks that are going to look great. You just bring your stuff, your images, your things you want to sell, any of that, and Squarespace is going to help you make a great platform for it. Head to squarespace.com/sawbones for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use offer code sawbones to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Sid, scrubs aren't like any other kind of clothes. Is that right? Scrubs aren't just like regular clothes. They're action clothes. They're clothes you gotta be able to perform in.
That's true. I definitely think that function is the primary concern with scrubs, but as someone who spends I don't want to say the majority of my life, but at least half of my life. No, it is the majority of my time in scrubs. I also
don't know about sleeping. You don't sleep in scrubs.
No, but you could if they're comfortable enough, which these are. But you also want them to look nice. Mm-hmm. And that's what's nice about Figs is that they are very functional. I'm not worried about when I'm down on the sidewalk doing my street medicine in my Figs. But also, I look nice. I get compliments on them. People don't always know they're scrubs.
Oh.
Yeah, that's how nice they look.
Well, that's a huge compliment because I know a lot of times scrubs have a reputation for not looking great and also being kind of itchy.
Yeah, these are not itchy. They're super soft. They're comfortable. I don't sleep in them because I do wear them to work and that would not be sanitary. But if I washed them, I could sleep in them. That's how comfy they are.
Sid, what is the number one reason that you have to do laundry every single week for you personally?
My scrubs.
Your scrubs. And wouldn't that be a little bit easier for anybody who's in the scrub game if they stocked up a little bit, had a few backup pairs?
Absolutely. Get yourself some more Figs. They're antimicrobial, so they'll keep you protected. They're durable, so you can wash them over and over again if you need to, like I do. And like I said, you look nice. You're going to look like a TV doc.
Like a TV doctor.
Yeah, like a TV doc.
It's the perfect time to stock up with some fresh outfits for the year, and Figs just dropped a brand new collection of limited edition styles and accessories. If you're in healthcare or shopping for someone who is, you can get 15% off your first order at wearfigs.com with the code FIGSRX. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX.
So do you want to hear about treating cholera?
Hit me. I'm ready.
Early on, there weren't a lot of treatments. The main thing was quarantine.
Sure.
You know, and again, I think that this is kind of instinctual and makes sense. Stay away from sick people. I don't want to get sick. Ships, if somebody on board of a ship got cholera, which actually happened fairly regularly, they had to fly a certain yellow flag. Hmm. And that would indicate as they docked that they had cholera on board. And you had to stay, everyone on the ship had to stay aboard in dock for 30 to 40 days before they would let anybody come ashore. Hmm. Basically, the idea being, that way, if you were going to get it, you would die. And then if you didn't die, you got to come on shore.
Yeah.
Kind of brutal.
Yeah, that's rough.
There was an outbreak in New York City in 1832. So it ended up spreading to the U.S. We did have cholera here. And at the time, the city had a population of about 250,000. 100,000 people fled the city.
Yikes.
Yeah.
It's like Godzilla attacking or something.
100,000 people took off during the outbreak. So getting away from sick people was very popular. And of course, everybody, I think, remembers that in 1849, along the Oregon Trail,
you have got cholera. You have died.
Of course you got cholera. School children forever will know. They didn't know what cholera was. Did you know what cholera was when you played Oregon Trail?
No, not that yellow fever. That was my first exposure to like to those diseases. I thought they were imaginary.
Do you know that my sister Taylor, when she was little, told her stuffed animals that one of her other stuffed animals got cholera? She could only take one with her on a trip. And our parents used to limit the stuffed animals we were allowed to take on trips.
Smart play.
It would get pretty crazy otherwise. So she only took one. And she was afraid the other animals would get jealous. So she said, she told them that it was her Simba, her stuffed Simba, that Simba had cholera and had to go away for a while.
Just thank need you. Some time in the sun.
Thank you, Oregon Trail, for that excellent excuse. So some other treatments that were tried, a lot of the Indian treatments sought to kind of rebalance the humors, so to speak, the different forces in the body and calm spasms. And heavy metals were very popular.
Sure.
Like mercury. Again, I think we've talked about that before. Mercury was a very popular treatment. Replacing the bad smells with good ones was important.
Take out the angry stink and you put on the right purdy stink.
Exactly. With some essential oils or some spices.
Yeah, why not? Certainly more pleasant, even if you're not healthier.
Heat was a popular treatment. You can get heat by taking a warm bath. That sounds nice.
Mm-hmm.
Friction. Rub them really vigorously.
Rub your cholera.
Cauterize your heel.
What?
Like, you know, with a hot iron. Okay. Just cauterize it. You know, the calloused part of your heel so it won't hurt too bad. Yikes. Or even try to ligate the limbs, like cut off blood flow to the limbs so it gets all red and hot. And
that's hugely unpleasant.
Yeah,
none
no.
of this is pleasant.
No, well, I mean,
this is killing me.
I think the idea was cholera isn't pleasant, so we've got to do, you know, we've talked about that. So we've got to do something even more unpleasant to get rid of it.
Right.
There were also cholera belts that members of the British Indian Army wore. And they were basically just these flannel belts that would keep you really warm.
Very stylish, I'm assuming.
Probably not.
Yeah.
In the outbreak in Naples in 1854, camphor was the most popular treatment. And in North America, tomato soup.
Okay.
That's was a very popular
that's a little better.
Treatment. So tomato soup, good for skunk sprays.
And cholera.
There you go. And in the UK, there was a really popular herbal remedy called horse heel.
Hmm.
I don't know. I guess if it's named horse heel, you think, well, maybe.
Maybe.
Heals horses. I'm smaller than a horse.
I've only got two legs.
And of course, I've mentioned bleeding was always popular if all else failed. And then later it was replaced in popularity by opium. But then what wasn't replaced in popularity by opium at the time? There was one treatment account that I found that I actually copied verbatim because I thought it was pretty funny. Well, in my I think cholera is kind of funny, so I guess that gives you a peek into my mind.
But you mean that with all like the care and consideration in the world.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. You gotta laugh at this stuff.
Right. Especially if you
it's either that or cry.
Right.
So this treatment involved putting a paste of lemon juice, iron oxide, and alum over a person's eyes, and then I guess leave it there and they'll get better,
maybe.
So this was the account of one of these treatments that I found. This is I did not write this, I'm quoting. The pain it produced vexed and enraged the sick man, and he attempted to strike those around him. The vomitings became more frequent. His attendants fled to avoid his blows. He pursued them, passing by a reservoir of water, which served for the purposes of the garden. He plunged into it, drank with avidity for several moments. They surrounded him, but he remained tranquil. The enormous quantity of liquid he drank was followed by fainting. He was then removed from the reservoir and put to bed. He slept for 11 hours, and when he awoke, the vomitings and dejections, that's diarrhea, had ceased.
Huh.
But he was blind.
Oh, no.
So.
Oh, twist.
So what probably fixed this guy was that he drank large amounts of water.
But he was blind.
But he was blind. So, I mean, I guess. I don't know. It was a trade-off. He lived. I thought you would find it interesting that James K. Polk died of cholera.
Oh,
I don't know if you knew that.
Napoleon of the Stump.
I knew you were a fan of James K. Polk.
Yeah. I can... You don't want to hear the song, do you?
Do you want to... Well, I don't know that we have enough time for you to perform.
Maybe after. Okay, yeah.
Maybe after is a special
for
thing
you,
at
just
the
for
end.
You.
Just for me. Yeah, yeah. Oh, good.
I'll stop the recording. Great. And stuff. Just private.
Excellent.
Perfect.
I thought you would think this is interesting. There is an avian cholera. I found an account of an avian cholera that struck a duck pond this year, in January of this year, in Redwood City, California. It killed 200 of the ducks.
Oof.
And as a result, the pond, there was a man-made little lake where they all lived, began to smell very bad.
Right, because of all the duck diarrhea.
Right, because of all the duck diarrhea.
Ugh.
Eventually, it got so bad that bird watchers couldn't go there anymore. Nobody wanted to hang around this beautiful
not.
Little lake.
I wouldn't get within a block of that place.
And they ended up having to drain it and scrape several inches of duck poop off the bottom of the pond and clean it up.
That is brutal.
So
what's it look like now, Sid? What's the cholera landscape?
Unfortunately, cholera is still around today. As you mentioned, you're not going to see cholera in the U.S. for the most part. There hasn't been a big giant outbreak, as I mentioned, since 2010. But there are still sporadically 3 to 5 million cases of cholera each year. And still between 100,000 and 200,000 deaths, mainly in developing areas, places with poor sanitation. And then you always see outbreaks of cholera anytime there's social upheaval. So you need to think about that. You know, we talked about after the Haiti earthquake. So anytime when there's some kind of natural disaster that would move people out of their homes and disrupt clean water supply, but also wars and refugee camps and that
so
kind of thing.
So just to reiterate, this is obviously still something that's very serious and a blight on the populace of the earth. Absolutely. We don't mean to make fun of people who actually contracted cholera, but...
No, absolutely not. This is something you can do something about because it's really easy to treat. You don't need any special drugs. You don't really need a medical degree. You just need clean water. You just need to get water to people, oral rehydration solutions and salts.
Mm-hmm. Pedialyte.
Yeah, and that's something that you can help do. Get water, get clean water to people. That is an easy thing. You don't need a medical degree to do it. And it can save a lot of lives. So there's a positive thing there. There's actually something we can all do.
I just want to give a big thank you to everybody who has been tweeting about our program. We are at Sawbones on Twitter. Thanks to Sarah Blanchard. Big thanks to Alan, who bought a Sawbones t-shirt. I don't know if we told everybody. There are Sawbones t-shirts at MaxFunStore.com. They're blue, and I think
and
you'll really like
check
them.
Check out Alan, because he looks great.
Yeah, Alan, you're looking dope. Thanks to other people tweeting about the show, like Megan Marine, Nicole Mesmer, Raf Castillo. Nicole got a Sawbones t-shirt, too. Want to see pics? Thank you to Teresa McElroy for tweeting about the show, Tyler Matheson, Jenny Haynes, Anthony Wright, Kristen Ahrens, Corn Porter, Ryan Thomas, Jeremy Frank, Cody Monthy, John Thomas Mason, so many others. You're all the best. Thank you very much.
And you can always tweet at us, at Justin McElroy.
And she's at Sydney McElroy, S-Y-D-N-E-E. I think that's going to be everything. Remember to go over to MaxFun.org. Listen to all the shows in the Maximum Fun Network. If you get a chance and you got a few free days, got some vacation time coming up in July, you want to go on the Atlantic Ocean Music and Comedy Festival. It is going to be a huge cruise with a ton of musical and comedy guests. I know our friend John Roderick is going to be out there. W. Kemu Bell is going to be out there. Tony Kamen, Chris Fairbanks, who's hysterical, Lake, Natasha Leggero, Morgan Murphy, like a ton of people. So go to bootparty.biz, get your tickets now.
Go have a drink for me, because I will be
Sid can't.
Hugely pregnant and very hot.
And that's going to do it for us here on Sawbones. Be sure to join us again next Tuesday for another episode of Sawbones. Until then, I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
As always, don't drill a hole in your head.
All right. Yeah. MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.